The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Taking you up to 6:30 on Grant and Danny on the Fan. We got to get out of here right then to get to the airport. We are flying to New Orleans. Still, latest update, Danny. Flight delayed about 1 hour. We're going to be all right. We're going to do this thing.
Yep.
Now, I know what you're wondering. Well, how are you guys going to get to your connecting flight, which is only like 70 minutes to spare to begin with? And now we're down to like 15. And I don't have a good answer for that.
Yeah. So what drives me crazy is when the it's going to be fine, it's all going to work out, people are right. And they don't have the appropriate amount of anxiety about how close we're all cutting it. Does that make any sense? So like no matter what it is in any walk of life, when it's like, dude, it's just going to happen. Whatever it is. I'm not talking about making a flight or connection or the team going to RFK eventually, right? The thing that always drives me crazy is like, okay, it may happen, but look at all the crazy things that have to break in the correct direction. So the guy that said 2 years ago, dude, they're going back to RFK and that's it. You might get proven right because of like what happened today that it got attached to some bill and a couple of senators from Maryland stood down and there were no fighter jets exchanged and whatever the hell happened. But like the acting like it's just fine, That always drives me crazy.
So I'm not promising you guys that we're going to get to New Orleans tonight. Because what I can't control is what happens on this connecting flight from Charlotte. My only contention all along was everyone needs to relax about us not making it on our original flight.
Okay.
Which was a 7:55 flight when we were due to leave here at around 6:20.
Mm-hmm.
We got plenty of time. We're going to be okay. Dad's gotcha. And I don't mean Darius this time.
I love you, Dad.
But the connection via Charlotte, developing situation.
A little dicey.
Christian did tell me, our benefactor,
mm-hmm.
that he is working the phones. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, who would you call?
He told me.
Right now, like, who would you call? I can't call anybody.
I don't have anybody. But he said, have you called American Airlines? I said, no, I have not. He's like, well, I'm going to give him a call. I don't know what that means.
Who do you ask for?
What do you
right away, Mr. Pendleton? Absolutely. Like, who would I ask for? Who would I talk to?
Also, what do they say? You say, are you delayed an hour? And they go, yes. And then what? All right. Well, see you later.
He's like, I have four pudgy idiots transferring or checking or coming from DC. Their flight's delayed. Can you hold the plane for them right away? Of course, Mr. Christian. Yes, absolutely.
Maybe it's that simple. How much are you up on the plans for the Netflix Christmas Day football games?
Loosely.
Okay.
I remember we awkwardly asked Ian Eagle if his son was going to do it because there was like a rumor, a report, and he was sort of like, yeah, I guess the cat's out of the bag now. So that's all I got so far.
All right, so what happened on that was about an hour before Ian Eagle joined us, yeah, there was a tweet that came out saying that Ian Eagle and Noah Eagle would call the Christmas Day games, father-son style. Now, there's two different games, so they would be both on one of the games. So, yeah, we asked him about that. It was a couple hours later, and he's like, well, it's not really official. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. But he kind of did a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Thanks, mm-hmm. guys. We'll be calling the games. But what is particularly amazing about this, in my opinion, is that Netflix announced its on-air talent, its cast, if you will,
okay.
for these two games that it's going to air on Christmas Day. I don't know how this is going to work, that they will involve all of these people, but it seems to me like they are spending all of the money on this NFL extravaganza. Listen to this cast of characters. Again, I want to reiterate, Danny, there are two football games that day.
Right.
These are the people that will be involved. Ian Eagle, Noah Eagle,
makes
calling
sense.
Play-by-play.
Uh-huh.
Greg Olsen will do color on one of the games. J.J. Watt will do color on another one of the games. Okay? So those are your broadcast teams. So you might need another sideline reporter if you want to. You need a desk probably pre and post. So you need another four or five people. I've still got 20 more people to tell you about.
20?
20.
20.
The list of people involved. Kay Adams. Now she's at FanDuel. She was at NFL Network. Nate Bargatze, the comedian.
Wait, what?
Nate Bargatze, the funny comedian. He's going to be involved in Netflix Christmas Day extravaganza for football. Oh. Nate Burleson, formerly NFL Network, now CBS News.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees. Melanie Collins, sideline reporter, I would imagine. Stacey Dales, sideline reporter, I would imagine. Jamie Erdahl, who hosts Good Morning Football on NFL Network. What role? I'm not really sure. Maybe she's at a desk, like leading a panel of some type. Robert Griffin III, off the bench.
Oh, okay.
No longer at ESPN, kind of doing his own thing on Twitter. He will be a part of this via Netflix. Scott Hansen.
What?
The red zone guy. The guy that goes, 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now. Let's bring on the Octobox. That's Scott Hansen. He will be involved in this. Now, there's not games to bounce back and forth to or, you know, a need for red zone, but he could do other things, obviously.
Sure he could, yeah.
Mina Kimes of ESPN fame.
Okay.
So what they could do, by the way, because all these people have jobs with networks, they're under contract, this is a whole different thing. This is just an app. So they can, I guess, get people to freelance for them, even that have these exclusive contracts.
That's interesting. I was going to say, that you answered my next question.
I'm not done yet, by the way.
Oh.
Bert Kreischer.
What?
You know, the machine.
Well, I mean, I know who Bert Kreischer
Stand-up
is.
Stand-up comedian, Bert Kreischer.
But why?
How could you not? Like, it's so funny to me. Our guy, Kevin Sheehan, who I had a great time with at the holiday party last night. By the way, shout out to Odyssey. I thought they did a good job.
It was very nice.
Holiday party last evening. It was good to catch up with guys I don't normally see, like Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard Kevin talking to Denton yesterday, and Denton was saying something about Bert Kreischer. And Kevin had no idea who he was.
Oh, it's hilarious.
And he's like, you haven't seen him? He's been everywhere for like 2 years.
Like, yeah, he's part of the Joe Rogan crew, yeah.
And Kevin was like, I've never heard of that person. I don't know. It's just so funny to me that you could not know who Bert Kreischer
is. Well, but Kevin's also like sneaky up on so many things.
Yeah, pop culture
right?
guy. He's texting with him last night. He went and saw Gladiator 2 in theater.
Yeah, he's like, so I actually like Tom Holland's Spider-Man better than Andrew Garfield's. I saw all of them, and the villains portrayed by Jamie Foxx and the crossover. Like, he knows everything, and yet he's like, who's the machine? Who's that? He does Two Bears, One Cave.
Funny to me, right? But Bert Kreischer is involved.
But, like, also, why?
Again, great question.
One comic, okay.
Devin McCourty.
Right.
Jason McCourty.
Okay.
Ian Rappaport.
What?
Rap Sheet.
Yeah, but, okay.
Can you do an NFL broadcast without an insider who's pretending to give you information just in case 3 hours, you know, of there's a 3 hour window where maybe something will break, so we'll pay him a bunch of money. Laura Rutledge.
But, okay.
Laura Rutledge is the host of NFL Live on ESPN. Gene Steratore.
Okay. Yep.
Gotta have a rules expert, right? Manti Te'o.
All right.
We had him on the show.
Yes, we did.
He was a 9.8 out of 10 as a guest.
Great, I thought.
He was awesome. He's on NFL Network. They also have a documentary about him, so I'm guessing that, you know, maybe they can mention that.
Oh, sure.
I have no idea. There's some crossover there. Like him and Bert and Bargatze, those are the crossover guys, I think. Where it's like, you could check them out on Netflix now. I don't know. And then one more, Steve Wyche. Of NFL Network.
So it's like, every time I think I go, okay, well, there's your studio, point guard.
Yeah, so
they have a third one. Then it's like, you have backups. Like, just in case one set goes down.
Wyche isn't really a host, though, really. I mean, he's more sits there like an analytical type role. So let's try to find jobs for everyone. So I'm going to assume Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt, and we'll throw Stacey Dales on their crew as a game broadcast.
Yeah.
Right? Noah Eagle, Greg Olson. I'm going to throw Melanie Collins as the sideline reporter on that crew.
Yep.
Okay. Now, you could do second player in each booth. You could go like, well, Devin and Jason McCourty. You cannot do an NFL broadcast right now without one of the McCourtys, by the way. That is a rule. Like, do you want to talk about the NFL? Is it, you know how there's rules?
Which
like,
McCourty would you like?
You can't play music for longer than 20 seconds or yeah. You get fined by the FCC. If you're talking about football for more than 30 minutes, a McCourty has to be on set. It just has to happen. I can't tell the difference between the two of them. I just know that one of them's always somewhere. I followed one of them down the steps at Northwest Stadium after the Titans game.
Who was it? Was it Devin or Jason?
I'd imagine it was Jason, but I have no idea.
But could it have been Devin?
Could have been.
Yep.
He was on the call with Tiki Barber, and I don't remember who had the call that day. Was it Joe Davis?
That's Catalan.
Andrew Catalan?
Yeah, Catalan, and that would be Jason McCourty that's on that crew. Jason,
Devin McCourty.
So I followed Devin McCourty down the steps, it sounds like. He was just there as a fan. It was just coincidental. But you have to have one of them, so like we'll divvy them up between the two broadcasts. But like, who is their desk then? Is it Rutledge hosting with Breeze and Griffin?
Then what's Kay Adams doing? See what I'm saying?
Are there two desks?
I don't
desk for the first game?
I don't know.
But then Rutledge would lead one, and then Erdahl would lead the other. So then what is Kay Adams doing? Does she interview Devontae Adams? Maybe that's like a sit-down, like a feat she just featured. Someone's going to have a small bit part.
Yeah, there'll be
where they just
ones.
Do like a fun thing.
I'm wondering if that's what the comics are doing. You know, where it's like, we had fun player for whatever team's playing, sit down with the machine, and he takes his shirt off, and that's
see,
the joke.
I'm thinking the machine does like the old school Caliendo on Fox or some kind of sketch.
Yeah.
Where Nate Bargatze, like, does something where he's Andy Reid walking around Kansas City. Or
they have Nikki Glaser at the end of the Thursday night broadcast, like after everybody's tuned
off.
I
think that's sneaky good.
Yeah, like roast people, like make fun of everything. Like, but that's like an hour after the game's over, then she hops onto the set and does that. So I wonder if one of them's going to do that.
I know this is not the take I should have as someone who's in this business and wants people to be paid money to be in this business. And like any kind of entity spending money is a good thing. Okay.
Okay.
They're wasting so much money on these broadcasts.
Feels like it.
I mean, they are wasting so much money.
Here's what I would do if I was like, an executive.
Raise your hand if you're going to watch with or without all these people involved.
This is it.
All you have to, you could, I don't want them to, but you could just have a countdown clock to 1 o'clock when the game starts. And then at 12:59:50, Noah Eagle or Ian Eagle could welcome you into the booth. Say, here's Greg Olson. Send it down to the sideline. I just talked to Dan Quinn. His hat was backwards, and he said KJ Osborne has had a lovely first week. They expect him to get about 5 snaps. Back to you. And then the game kicks off. You could do that, and you could save millions and millions of dollars.
I'll see that and raise you this. If I'm Netflix, I'd want to prove a point. If I'm like some whippersnapper young executive, right? The new hotshot, the BJ Novak character on The Office, right? He went from attempt to running the company overnight. I would walk in, I would go, we're not going to have any of this crap. In fact, we're not even going to have people call the game. We're going to have an AI at the bottom just go, you know, first and 10, Kansas City football. And then the play happens. And then they'll say what the play was, just in closed captioning. And we'll get 50 million people to watch the thing. We're gonna run a grand experiment where everyone watches football because football's on. Mm. And everyone's going to get Netflix and do it.
That's real interesting. I mean, if you're just trying to prove that you don't need anything other than your existence to print money, I guess that would be successful. I have no interest in what you're describing. As someone who likes watching, you know, telecast, broadcast, play-by-play mean something to me. In this business, the worst thing that would possibly happen is to introduce AI to take people's jobs. So, like, everything you just said, I couldn't be more out on. But I guess if Netflix's role or goal
is the disruptor,
is to just say we could do it our own way, I guess. I mean, if that's interesting to them, you could do it worse in your own way.
I'm wondering if there's a good chance that there's probably a sideline reporter for each team, like they do on America's Game of the Week. You know how they'll have
Tom Arnold on one side.
I'm wondering if that's a possibility.
Good call. But even still, okay, there aren't really four. I mean, is Mina Kimes on a sideline?
How about every position group gets a sideline reporter?
There's enough people for
that
it.
That seems like we could do.
That could be the plan. I mean, so sideline reporters, you have Melanie Collins, Stacey Dales, possibly Laura Rutledge, who does that. She filled in for
Lisa Salters
on Monday Night Football. So that's three. I need a fourth. Is Kay Adams on a sideline? I
doubt it. No.
So there's not four sideline reporters.
Wow. The other bit,
McCourty could be a sideline reporter.
The other bit that I was thinking of, because this is all the rage in sports television now, there's probably one of these folks is probably going to do the fashion bit. You know that's what they got to do. It's just something they have to do now. You have to do the fashion bit.
Actually, you don't.
What do you mean?
You don't have to do it. I'm out on it too. But we're like somebody's going to be, I don't know, in the tunnel and talking about, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes is fit or Travis Kelce's fit coming down the tunnel or something like that.
Oh no.
Yeah. Maybe that's what Kay Adams is doing. Cause I don't know. I feel like that's going to be a thing.
I mean, does Kay Adams even do that in life?
I have no idea.
Yeah. If that happens, I'm going to be very upset.
Be ready to be upset.
Yeah. I'm going to be very, very upset. Like, to your point, Danny, if you're Netflix, you got one chance to do this thing. I think it's just a flex where they have all of the
money. It's 100% a flex.
They have every ounce of money that you could ever want. I mean, they're launching these gigantic, basically amusement parks now that are just going to be. Have you seen these? We talked about it on a Double Play months ago. But that are themed to their shows and their content, where not unlike like Universal Studios or something many years ago, where you'd go ride the rides of the movie or the show that you watched. Netflix is launching some of these amusement parks. Effectively, that are going to go hand in hand and handcuffed to their content. Like, they have nothing but money to spend. So, really, frankly, I guess I'm happy that at a time when nobody's spending money, everyone's cutting back,
shows are
going away, we need people in this business that want to help provide content. So that's great. But it's two games, and they're hiring 22 people. It's kind of like an assembling. It's like an assembling of the Avengers, but it's a lot of random Avengers. Like it's just like,
well, to your point that it's a flex, that's exactly what it is. You know what I mean? This is their showcase. This is their, we don't want this to be the only time Netflix does NFL football, Mr. Goodell. We would like to be considered for all the things. Like eventually this is going to be the hub for, you know, World Cup soccer or, you know, the NFL. I think this is where the world is going, and this is their attempt to basically say, we're not nickel diming. We are going to go the exact opposite direction as everybody else because we can afford to, right? It's like, you know, you think of ESPN. It's a subsidiary of, you know, ABC, Disney, etc. And it's almost got to be like spun off in its own separate entity because it can't make the same amount of money that it used to. Whereas Netflix is making all of the money and killing it. To your point. Right, so they're the NFL of content options. So wouldn't it make sense that it goes against the NFL?
An incredible cast being put together of just not only talent but quantity and quality by Netflix. But Cliff Kingsbury had a funny thing that he said today. Couldn't believe it. He popped a joke behind the mic at the podium.
Cliff Kingsbury made a joke today.
He made a joke and people laughed at it, and it was actually a timely and it's worth playing. He was asked about Bill Belichick going and coaching college. Let's just say he's on my side of this whole thing. He is not quite buying it even still. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mentioned this going into last segment, and then we got derailed by the Netflix cast that we were talking about and how big it is. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. I think this is a really hard week to pick games. Just straight up find a winner. I want to go through some of the games that are stumping me as I'm putting in my picks for my pool this weekend, Danny. I think Rams 49ers tonight, kicking off in about less than 3 hours now, is a really tough game to predict.
So on paper, it shouldn't be. Rams are surging. Niners struggling. Everybody's hurt for the Niners. Here's the X factor. Kyle Shanahan has owned Sean McVay. Good, bad, or indifferent. Everything in between, the Niners have been the better team. Well, maybe not. Oh, they've been really good, so that's why they've won a lot of these games. But even when both teams are good, it's a decided tilt in favor of San Francisco, who is kind of on their last legs. And they're favored.
The last part there is, to me, what I find most compelling and makes it so difficult is the betting line here throws me off. There was a long time when I didn't care much about that. When I looked at games, I've wised up. You know, it used to be when I saw a line that didn't make sense, I said, that's stupid.
I'm smarter than them.
They're trying to get people to bet, you know, whatever I would talk myself into. No, they're just on it almost all the time. But also the fact that it's in San Francisco, that it's basically, this would be a pick'em game on a neutral site. You have to add in the caveat that it's Thursday night football. Weird things happen on Thursday night. I just think Thursday night is less predictable.
Yes.
In all directions. Like, the Rams could win by 20 or lose by 20 because you just don't know on the quick turnaround. And by the way, if the Niners beat the Rams in this game, they're both 7-7. So while the Rams are playing better football right now, it's not like, you know, a 9-win team's playing a 2-win team. So this one's really, really hard. I'm leaning toward picking the Rams to win. Both have a lot on the line. L.A. as a 2.5-point dog. You can get them at about plus 128 on the money line, a little better than even money. L.A. is a win away from having a chance to possibly pull even in the wild card with Washington by the end of the weekend. They also currently control their own destiny in the division. If they win out, they will win the NFC West. You lose to San Francisco, you no longer control your own destiny.
Right.
So nothing else needs to be said there. And then San Francisco probably has to win out just to make the playoffs.
They're fighting for their lives there. I mean, I will say the last two matchups, the Rams have won a close game earlier this year and then the playoffs earlier on, I guess this year, January 7th, 2024. I barely remember that game.
That was regular season.
That's the regular season?
Last week.
Oh, because when San Francisco didn't need it. That's right. Not a playoff game. There you go. So yeah, then previously San Francisco had won at least three straight.
Another game that I'm having a hard time picking this weekend. Dolphins-Texans. I have a sneaky suspicion that Miami wins this game. Houston just doesn't quite pass the smell test for me right now. It does not look right. Miami 6-7, Houston 8-5. The Dolphins, I think, need it more. Houston can kind of continue to coast. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't set yourself up for playoff success, but you're certainly in a position to win your division. Miami has to keep winning. They are in desperation mode. If they win and they're 7-7, you can now at least see home over the mountain a little bit if you're the Dolphins. You can see, all right, there's three games to go. If we win all three, there's a decent chance we get in.
Yeah, I don't trust either of these teams, and that stinks when they're playing each other. You know what I mean? It's like Houston's obviously got a good enough resume, but we're just looking at the expectation. The expectation was C.J. Stroud, MVP candidate. It hadn't been bad, but it's not what we thought. Houston, we thought Super Bowl contender. They haven't been bad, but it's not what we thought.
Again, the line
will
make you have some pause.
A little fishy.
You're at home if you're Houston, and you're a 2.5-point favorite.
Basically says that's a pick'em, doesn't it?
Yeah, neutral site, toss-up kind of game. Next one that I am having a hard time picking. Bills-Lions. 10-3 Buffalo, 12-1 Detroit. Now, bad logic's about to be used here. But you know, sometimes I pick games based on, do I think the Lions are only going to lose one game all year? I don't. They're going to lose two, maybe three games. Is Buffalo got a shot to lose three games all year, you know, maybe in that four-loss range? I would say yeah. So because the Bills have already lost a game or two along the way that they could have won, that really has not happened for Detroit. It just feels like, if I could steal from our buddy Eric Bick a little bit of do theory for the Lions, it's hard to be 13-1. I'm leaning toward the Bills in this game straight up. You look at the betting line, by the way, and Buffalo's a 2.5-point dog, which feels about right to me.
So there's a statistical fallacy in the world where, like, we know that a coin tossed infinite number of times will land basically on heads half the time, tails half the time, right? Like if all things are equal, wind and nobody's influencing the coin, etc. So it is kind of foolish to go, Buffalo lost last week, so there's no way they lose two in a row. But that's exactly what I'm doing. Like, you know what I mean? The equivalent would be it lands on tails four straight times. I go, well, this one has to be heads. No, it doesn't. Each one's 50-50. Every one of these things is 50-50. This is its own proposition, Buffalo traveling again to Detroit. Buffalo went to L.A. last week, played a really competitive game. The Rams were more impressive, but Buffalo still was right there within a field goal, I believe, at the end. It just feels like the Bills are going to win this game to me, mostly because, kind of as you said, are the Bills really going to lose two in a row when they're trying to get home field in the AFC? Really? And that's governing my thinking, and it probably shouldn't, but that's what's in my mind.
Yeah, there's no foolproof way to predict games or people would make a lot more money gambling if there was. But I think about it from the perspective, too, of what are team strengths and weaknesses? So, like you look at the Bills defensively that are ranked 17th. They're 26th against the run. In theory, I think the Lions should be able to just shove the ball right down their throat on the ground with Montgomery and Gibbs all day long. They're the number 8 rushing team in yards per play in the league. They're number 4 passing yards per play in the league, whereas Buffalo is 11th defending the pass. But if you're looking for normally, like, what can beat Detroit? Well, pass rush. Getting to Jared Goff. Well, Buffalo ranks 22nd in sacking the quarterback, bottom 10 in the NFL. So you'd say, well, they're not going to do that, obviously. Except that then you turn on the game and they have 2 sacks on the first drive and 4 sacks in the first half and 6 for the game. And it just, sports are so weird in that way. But the one thing the Bills have done very, very well defensively is turn teams over. They pick off passes at the 4th highest rate in the NFL. About 3% of the time on dropbacks, they pick off quarterbacks. That, to me, is the equalizer here, where when Detroit struggles a little bit, it's kind of the same story every time. It's Jared Goff threw a pick or two that he shouldn't have, which is rare, but in the games where they've almost lost or not looked like themselves, that's what happens. He gets a little flustered, confuse him a little bit, and he throws a pick or two. They're at home, they're indoors. I think he'll play well, but that would be an equalizer. But I'm leaning toward the Bills against my better judgment.
I am too, and let me lob one data point at you, see if you like it. If you don't, you throw it right back. Listen to the margin of victory here for the Lions going back to the end of October. 38-10 field goal against Houston. 46-18 dominating these games for the most part. Last 2 weeks, Thanksgiving Day, 23-20 over the Bears. A losable game right there. 34-31 over the Packers.
They got hooked, by the way, by Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams.
They certainly did.
It should have been an overtime game.
Indeed. 34-31 against Green Bay. Now, Green Bay's good, but my case is similar to the one I'm making against Kansas City. Doesn't change. Detroit's going to the NFC title game, maybe the Super Bowl. Kansas City's going to the AFC title game, probably the Super Bowl. We got enough track record. We got enough pedigree. These teams are really good. They're not quite destroying everybody right now. They're probably due for a blemish. They're probably due for that second or third setback. And I don't know when else it's coming. They got Chicago, San Fran, and then maybe last game of the year against Minnesota if they don't need it. But it feels like maybe this is about time that they drop one, as they've been precariously close for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I got a tweet here at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. Someone saying, you know, Buffalo, the 2 games back of the Chiefs for the 1 seed, you know, maybe needs the game more than Detroit. I disagree with that. I mean, the Lions are scratching and clawing to get the 1 seed.
To keep their seed, yeah.
I would even make the case it's a bigger game for Detroit because they are more in a fight for the 1 seed than Buffalo is. Now, Buffalo, with a win and some help from Kansas City, could close the gap a little bit. But as of right now, Buffalo looks like a 2 seed, whereas Detroit looks like the 1 seed and needs to stay there. Philly plays Pittsburgh, which is the next game that I have a hard time picking. Now, this one is the first one I will say where the spread suggests, like, odds makers believe this could actually be a fairly decisive win for the Eagles. They think they could win this game by close to a touchdown. And I understand that, especially if George Pickens doesn't play. Because I think Pittsburgh at that point struggles to make some plays down the field vertically. There's not as many explosives. They become a little bit more one-dimensional in ground and pound. And you take kind of the lid off of the defense with George Pickens. And without him, it's more of a horizontal passing game. Pat Freiermuth led them in catches and yards, I think, last week, without Pickens. But I got a little turmoil in Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts is not playing well. I think I saw somewhere, let me look this up, that Hurts has gone 3 straight weeks without throwing for 200 yards. Last week, he threw for 108 yards. That's what a high school quarterback throws for in the wing tee.
Yep.
You know, when they throw it like 4 times in a game and they, you know, hit a couple of balls down the seam to the tight end or whatever. 108 yards. He's got A.J. Brown chirping at him. I know they're going to hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley, and they're going to score 22 points, and it'll probably be enough because their defense is great. But Pittsburgh, I'm watching Hard Knocks. I know what they're doing right now. I mean, it's exactly what you think. Mike Tomlin's got that clicker in his hand, and all of the leaders, veterans, are sitting around. He's talking about Barkley's not beating us this week. It's what he does every week. Yep. We've seen it now two straight weeks on Hard Knocks. So if they can slow Barkley down, are the Eagles good enough to beat them through the air? Can the Steelers make enough plays offensively? I mean, these are all questions we don't have answers to until Sunday, but I think I got to pick Pittsburgh.
It's too many points. I know you're not talking about against the spread, but just in general, the way...
Oh, against the spread, it's my favorite play of the week.
Well, it's a 5.5-point spread.
Tomlin ATS, baby. Tomlin with points every single time.
I'm mystified by that to a degree, which obviously makes me question me because the buildings are tall and I'm just short and pudgy. But yeah, so just looking at this in general, if Pittsburgh hadn't played the way that they had recently, right? Where a couple
weeks ago,
losing to Cleveland or whatever. To me, they've already had their slip up.
The Cleveland game was the snow game, though. I kind of discount that. I think that was, I don't know if you agree with this or not.
It was a Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday, which is already, again, weird, we talked about. And you can dismiss it based off that or the fact that there was snow all covering the ground and guys were slipping and sliding. I just think it was that was an inauthentic result. They just played Cleveland this week and you saw what happened.
And were the better team decidedly. Yeah. I mean, to me, they had their slip up. Like this is who Pittsburgh is. Like this isn't last year where it was fluky as all hell that they were cobbling together 9 wins. This team is really good on both sides of the football. And it's sort of like waiting for the other shoe to drop. They already had their fluky, weird, bad game. This is December time. Their schedule is arduous. Philly, Baltimore, Kansas City, 3 straight weeks to get ready to close out the season. Like Mike Tomlin is doing his "we do not care" meme right now about not backing down. Like I think they're going to go play really well in Philadelphia.
For those of you asking, by the way, where we're going to be broadcasting from in New Orleans, I've gotten a few of those today. If you're going to the game, if you're going to be in the Big Easy, somewhere in the Bourbon Street, French Quarter area, we're going to be at Hotel Monteleone doing the show tomorrow. You can come by and check it out. We'll have an opportunity for people to sit and hang and say hello. And then we'll be at Brennan's, the very famous, awesome restaurant in the French Quarter on Monday. That's going to be our broadcast locations from Nolens as we bookend the weekend. But hopefully you guys are getting ready for the warmth. It's going to be about 70 degrees this weekend. And a big Commanders win. If you're making that trip, I'm sure we'll be flying out with some of you tonight over at National Airport. We're taking you up to 6:30, though, before we head to the airport next on G&D. I want to make sure everyone's got everything they need packed and ready to go. We'll talk shop ahead of our big trip on Grant and Danny. G&D on the Fan, welcome back, and thanks for checking us out. We're live in our Half Street studios, just a couple of blocks away from Nats Park. Did you see the Nats made a couple of big signings today, Danny?
They did?
Yeah, you weren't listening to the update, or you know, you didn't see the big breaking news all over ESPN,
I guess I missed that.
They signed right-hander Clay Helvey and left-hander Connor Pilkington to minor league deals with invitations to spring training.
Oh, they're invited. That means they can come.
That's the good stuff, right?
Yeah.
So my nerves
championship
and anxieties that they wouldn't spend much this offseason have been quelled.
They've been assuaged.
At this point.
I did miss those signings. Shame on me.
Walked by Nats Park today, just looking at the center field gate, thinking about the spring. I do love doing that because we broadcast in the Navy Yard, just taking a little walk down there. And occasionally thinking about it being warm and walking into the ballpark to watch James Wood hit a bolt. But today I just found myself kind of annoyed. I was just staring going, why? Why does it have to be this way? This should be one of the most exciting times of the year. You had Juan Soto being introduced by the Mets today. You know, the Red Sox going and getting Garrett Crochet in a trade for a prospect yesterday. The Yankees go and get Max Fried. I'm not suggesting I've got to be top two or three or five.
You mentioned three of the four richest teams in baseball just there, right?
I don't need to be in the top 5 or 10 in payroll.
Be 12th.
I need to be in the Pete Alonso rumors. Christian Walker would be nice.
I need a whole other digit when we start counting it all up. You know what I mean? Right now, we're in the like 30 million range. Let's get up to a one with a comma. You know what I mean? Like let's have a much bigger number. Let's just add a whole another digit on there.
All right, so we're getting ready to head to the airport as soon as we're done at 6:30 tonight, which will be a quick trip over to National. By the way, we were talking about getting an Uber, and Ryan just like straight out of a sitcom. Like he is more of a worrywart when he travels than you are. That's what I'm learning.
Totally. He definitely is.
You have long been the show, everything's at the end of the world, everything's not going to work out for us, nothing will go our way guy for the show. You get to just sit quietly now. You've got someone handling it.
I do. I've got a lead goose now. I'm falling in line as we fly south.
How proud of him are you and his worrying ways? Because he walked in here as we're like planning out the Uber, and he's like, I just thought I'd let everyone know it'll take about 50 minutes to get there. I look it up on Uber. It says 26, you know, but maybe it'll take 50. Nobody knows. But, I mean, he went to the Danny Ruhier school
That's
of
right.
everything will go bad.
Of appropriate appreciation for travel hassle. He's got it. He's a graduate.
As I said to you, Clay,
proud of him.
My point was, you can't control it, man. So just, it's a trip. It's a fun time. We're having fun.
No, I know. And I'm going to have fun. But the travel part of it sucks because I don't have any control of it. And I understand
that. That's all the reason why you shouldn't, like, you're worried about if we're going to get our connection in Charlotte.
Yeah.
You have no control over that. So when you don't get your connection, now you're inconvenienced to figure something else out. By the way, the worst case scenario in all of this, is the worst case, is that they give you a free hotel room tonight that you sleep in, and then you fly out in the morning.
I mean, I guess we could do that. Also, my Aunt Kathy is in Charlotte, so we could bunk up with them.
Steam
would be
to fun. Meet
does Kath want us over? As it like
I'm
ambush
sure.
foursome? Just come
Aunt,
on by.
Aunt Kathy would love us.
Is
I'm
it
sure.
Kathy Clary?
Kathy Clary.
Doesn't she? Is she
Matthews? Actually,
is she one of my Instagram fan of friends?
No, but she's actually in the North Carolina. She's in Raleigh, I believe. So okay. No, not
I don't
in
know
Charlotte.
Aunt Kathy.
But yes, my Aunt Kathy would love to have us there if we are stuck in Charlotte for the night. She wakes up really early as well. She could take us to the airport.
Darius,
that is a thing.
He comes in here, I would say every break, but if I'm being honest, it's probably every other break, to have some new fear, some new, did you hear there was a case of bird flu at the airport last month? I just saw on Google that somebody came down with the measles or, you know, whatever. What is it like sitting next to him all day? Has it been this constantly?
Well, we've had 11 breaks so far. He's definitely been in your studio at least 10 of them.
I mean, it is unbelievable.
The other one, he had to probably use the potty. But
you know, there's a new strain of COVID out there. And there's no better way to get it than being on an airplane. Give me your Milton voice for the...
Well, now that lights are out and about again, that school started, the best way to get it is on a headrest on an airplane.
It's been just as bad in here as well. I would say he's been more focused on the show while the show is happening, so he hasn't been too crazy, but he's definitely letting me know that he's nervous about
now
things.
You said yesterday that you also worry a lot.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I do. I just keep it contained, though. I try not to let everybody know.
But
that
would
I'm
you
worried.
Acknowledge that what he's doing is a lot?
It's... I don't know. I'm kind of understanding some of his worries, so I'm not going to say it's too much, but it's definitely a little bit.
You're totally outnumbered, because the thing you're not acknowledging, you can't control it. Well, you can't control anything, right? You know what I mean? Like, you can't control who's winning a game. Doesn't mean you don't care about the game. The point is, the thing you go, the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario sucks. It sucks. We're going to be in Charlotte wandering around, like getting an Uber, going to some hotel that they're like, actually, we overbooked. The worst case scenario is even worse than that. The scenarios are awful. Everything, even when it's best, travel sucks. Like, the refusal to acknowledge that is why he's going over the top.
But I am acknowledging that potentially bad things can happen. That is true. I will cross that bridge when we come to it. Before the Commanders play the Saints, I'm not going to sit here and scream about how terrible it would be if they lose this game for their playoff chances. We can have that conversation. You know, if they lose, how damaging would it be, whatever. But I'm not going to sit here every minute of the day and worry about it. They should win the game. We should get to New Orleans, hopefully.
I don't know. Here's my thing about this is I just feel like we're going to be stuck in Charlotte tonight. And I don't want to be. So I want to be in New Orleans.
So
I
that
be...
sucks.
Exactly. I agree. That sucks.
Okay. Great. That sucks.
Yeah.
Next.
Well, next, we're going to have to do it again and then probably get delayed tomorrow morning trying to get to New Orleans. We could potentially miss the beginning of the show. We're not going to be able to eat Cafe Beignet in New Orleans, which I already had planned. I was going to wake up, work out, and then go to Cafe Beignet and get some beignets and a coffee. I won't be able to do that.
If you get your Cafe Beignet in the morning, I'm going to be like Danny with Chase Young playing against Washington. Like, I want all my time back. All the complaining, all the nerves, all the anxiety. I'm the one on anxiety medication, by the way.
I know.
Let me handle the anxiety part of it. I mean, the fact that the three of you guys are all peas in a pod, it's just like, it's too much.
We have the appropriate concern for the hassles of travel. And for some reason, it's an amazing quality that you have. It's like, it doesn't bother you.
Someone is flying you guys down and putting you up in a hotel in New Orleans to go to an NFL game.
Because it's wonderful. It's an unbelievable thing.
Calm down and enjoy the ride. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to have a blast.
Eventually.
You, not Danny, but you'll drink alcohol with me. We'll have some food.
Are you going to have alcohol, Ryan?
Mm-hmm. I plan on it.
Wow.
Somebody asked me, by the way. They said, is Danny going to drink with us on this trip? And I said, oh, no.
No. That's
an adorable question.
That's precious.
What a funny question.
Does drinking mean go to the hotel room and go to bed? Does it mean that?
You'll definitely do that.
I'll do that.
What is there a night that you would go out with us? Like after dinner?
What was the word used?
After dinner.
No. Because that's something after I ate?
Right.
Yeah, that's the end.
So we'll have a nice dinner.
Yeah.
It ends at like 9:30. We go out on Bourbon Street.
Uh-huh.
Danny comes with us?
As long as we're walking the same direction as the hotel before I peeled off, I'd go with you.
Going opposite the hotel.
No, have a great night, everybody.
You got to pick one night to go out with us till you can come back at like midnight.
All right. Shtick aside, Tuesday.
Well, we're back on Tuesday.
Oh, darn it.
See, it's going to be a blast. I just can't wait. Tons of fun, Rouye.
Oh, yeah.
The whole crew.
You need me for brunch? You need me for a historical building? Yeah, there.
But that's not fellowship. You're there for your own wants and needs.
No, I'm not.
When you're eating?
Yeah.
Oh, you're there for me? So I can watch you eat a beignet?
What do you mean? Like, I'm gonna go to some private tour and you're not welcome. I'm gonna do the Gator fan tour and you guys can't come.
No, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean?
I'm saying you're coming to eat because you want to eat, not because we're there. When are you gonna come because you want to hang out with your pals?
That's what we're doing the whole trip. That's like we're going places at the same time, aren't we? Unless you want to do something separate.
Literally, that's what I just asked you, and you said as long as we're eating dinner, basically.
No, you're talking about like going out. I'm not doing that. But like, I'm happy to sit down with you guys. I want to sit down with you guys and have dinner. And
you do.
Let's have some brunch.
Wow, that's
let's
lovely.
Have some coffee or not.
Sounds whatever. Like there's a lot of meals we're going to have together.
Well, we're in New Orleans.
That's what we're going to do.
My favorite food city on the planet.
G&D.
If we ever get there.
Eric Flack had a bombshell news story today for Channel 9 on the RFK site and the possibility that the Commanders could be building a stadium in D.C. Want to let you hear what he had to say next.